Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Need to Talk About Ghosts. It's a Sunday. It's Sunday sermon. Cheating, really, because it's not for me. I'm actually recording this on a Thursday, yes, because from tomorrow onwards, I'll be taking Becca for a surprise for her birthday. Yes, I will. But any thieves listening will be back by the time you've heard this. Will we? In fact, shit, we won't. But there will be someone in the house. There actually will be, actually, because we're getting someone to look after the cat. Yes, because the neighbour can't do it. I've said far too much on this intro already. Anyway, how are you all doing? I hope that you're all fantastically well, and if you're not, you're at least doing as well as you can possibly be. Isn't that all we can ask? I think so. And as a community, let's help each other get there, shall we? I think we should. What have we got for you today? Well, it's a ghost story podcast, so we've got ghost stories. Hooray, I hear you say in your droves. We do have some fantastic stories today, though. Yes, we do. I can't wait to share them with you. Has anything interesting happened to me? Well, I've, I was telling you about those skinny jeans. I decided to try and give them a wash to see if that loosened them up. No, as anyone who's ever washed jeans will know, they are now only suitable for twiglets and maybe breadsticks. Yes. So I might just nail them to the kitchen wall and use them to hold two breadsticks because they have shrunk beyond compatible measure. So I'm not too sure what to do with them. Maybe I'll give them to a homeless person, but I'd have to scour the earth. Maybe to Slender Man. If you come across Slender Man and he needs new jeans, just drop me a line and I'll be happy to give him some. Anyway, so yeah, that's where we are. We're going to do a good show. Yes, we are indeed. I know what you're thinking. Are we going to do a Week in Weird? Yes, we are. And thank you so much to everyone who suggested some Week in Weirds. We've had a plethora, yes, a perfect plethora of Week in Weird suggestions. And we're going to do one of those. We're going to see who's won that little raffle. But I do bank them anyway. So if you haven't heard yours this week, you may well get it next week. Yes, you may. So there's been a touch of debate over on the Patreon page as I've posted pictures. Well, the first two pictures started off to be kind of innocent enough because it was of a shadow figure in our bedroom in the middle of the night. But it could be explained away because it was just where we hang a robe. So that was all explainable. But then in looking at other pictures that I took at the same time, there appears to be a little ghostly man looking out of the mirror in the bedroom. That's not on any other photos. So yeah, a little bit scared. I will share them on the Facebook group eventually, probably next week. I obviously like to give our Patreons a chance to look at things first. But yes, needless to say, this coincided with Becca waking up yesterday and saying, "Did you move my earrings?" And me saying, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, I took them off, put them on the bedside table. And when we got up this morning, they're over here in the jewellery box." And I was like, no, that wasn't me, actually. However, please look at this man in the mirror. And it's not Michael Jackson. So, yeah, potentially spooky things afoot. Anywho, speaking of Patreons, we do need to say thank you to our Patreons and thank you to everyone who's waited for their song. Don't worry, it's coming very shortly. If you join our Patreon, not only will you support the show and help us keep going, and it is vital that we have that support, you also get your name sung out as a bit of a thank you. Yes, you do. And you get two extra shows each and every week, along with whatever other stuff we throw up there, like those photos. You need to go to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. Now, anyway, our new Patreons. Shall we see who they are? Let's. Well, it is a plethora, so God knows how I'm going to sing this. We've got Jill, Jason A. Anson, Jennifer Mullen, Charles Murphy, Francesca Carendi, Alison, Laura, Maudy Soul, Elizabeth Adamson. Yes, 9. How do you fit 9 people into a song, Kev? Well, we're about to find out. And don't worry, it's not a rap. The guitar is out, and here we go. Jason A. Anson, Jennifer Mullen, Charles Murphy too, Francesca Carendi, Allison, and don't forget Laura too, Elizabeth Adamson, Marty Soul, not to forget our Jill. You are all new Patreon, so I think that I will say thank you. Jason A. Anson, Jennifer Mullen, Charles Murphy too, faster, Francesca Carendi, Allison, and don't forget Laura too, Elizabeth Adamson, Marty Soul, not to forget our Jill. You are all new Patreon, so I think that I will say thank you. And it's on a 7th. There you go. It is possible to put 9 names in a song, as I think I've just proven. Thank you to all our new Patreons. Don't forget, go over to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts and you can get your name sung out just like that little country bumble number.
Weekend Weird.
Yes, it's that time of the week once again where we look at everything strange and wonderful that's happened in the last 7 days. Well, this hasn't actually, I think he'll find. It actually hasn't happened in the last 7 days. It's happened in the last couple of weeks, but you know, we've had a bit of downtime, etc. So, this has came in from Tony from Australia. Australia. And apparently, Tony sent over this thing because there's a little girl, well, it's a doll, who sits on a swing on a tree in a haunted mangrove, and she gives bad luck to anyone who approaches her. Yes, this is taken from that good old resource, the Daily Mail. Wink, wink. Locals in a small town are terrified of a haunted little girl that sits on a swing next to a mangrove swamp. Residents of North Queensland town Lucinda, 90 minutes from Townsville, and with a population of 406 people, that's quite exact, said they believe she brings bad luck. They claim the doll may be to blame for spooky incidents like motorboat troubles and lost fishing gear. Now, I know Tony's actually from England, but if any of Australian listeners are going to be offended by my accent now, please forgive me. Everyone seems to know about the doll, but nobody really wants to talk about it. Hinchbrook MP Nick Darmetto told the Townsville Bulletin. He said no one knows where she came from or how she got to sitting on the swing under a low-hanging tree. Residents know of the girl, as do fishermen who catch lines at the Hinchbrook Canal, but are wary of getting too close. Even saying a quick hello to the doll is said to be enough to spell doom. I've heard stories of people who have gotten too close to the doll having bad luck whilst out boating or fishing, Mr. Darmetto said. This might be pure circumstance. This might be pure circumstance, or just a modern wives' tale, but it's something I'm definitely not willing to toy with. Nice bit of sexism there, Mr. Darmetto. He also said, every question he asked the locals about the doll seemed to lead to more questions with no one knowing the answers. Another business owner reportedly said the doll was made by a lovely local couple who wanted to add some colour into the town. What? And the odd demonic curse, no doubt. However, Mr. Darmetto warned the girl's origins was a local mystery and said most people were wary to find out. Were wary to find out. There you go, straight from the land down under, a haunted dolly swinging on a swing. I think we can all agree that we'll stick to Melbourne and Sydney, etc. if we go to Australia, and not the dreaded mango swamp with the little girl. No, no, thank you very much. Anyway, that's been this week's Weekend Weird.
Weekend Weird.
And we are back, and it's time once more to get spooky. So wherever you are, go and turn off the lights. Wait there, unless you're doing something which requires lighting. You know, I don't want to be responsible for any household accidents here. No, sirree, we don't have the public liability insurance. No, we don't. Oh, my God. Anyway, jokes aside about public liability insurance, who cracks jokes about public liability insurance? Especially awful ones like that. Anyway, shall we get some spooky stories? I think we all want to. So let me give it some sort of announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I give you this week's stories. That really should have been on reverb, but nah, forget it. Let's just get right to your spooky emails. This email comes in from Annette, and it's called Unwanted Passenger. That's terrifying, isn't it? Hi, Kev.
Hi.
Becca.
Hi.
And the neighbour's cat.
Meow.
I hope you're all well and as happy as possible in these odd times. I think we all are, and we hope you are too, Annette. I love both podcasts and have really enjoyed the Don't episodes. Why, thank you. I usually listen to Wintag when gardening with my cats. Your cats can do gardening. Wow, Annette, you must teach me how. But the dark paranormal at night when falling asleep. The best time.
Yeah, for nightmares.
That's terrifying. Well done, you. I have a very short story for you. It's possibly a little unnerving, but not scary, so probably doesn't belong on the dark paranormal. I hope you enjoy it. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the email from Annette. Here's where at the end she says, don't use my name, and I'll have to re-record all this. Hopefully she doesn't. Fingers crossed. Back in the mid-90s, I was driving up to Croydon from the Portsmouth area, in brackets the south coast of England, to visit my parents. And my route took me past Arundel Castle. It was a warm night in September, with no cloud cover and a full moon. The car stereo blasted my favourite tunes and I sang along, enjoying the drive after a long 12-hour shift at work. As the beautiful Arundel Castle came into view, I took a deep breath and smiled, until I heard the loud thud of the locks on all of my doors popping up. My heart stopped before hammering hard within my chest. I couldn't move. I didn't want to. There was someone in my car. I knew there was. Finally, almost without my consent, my eyes flicked to the rearview mirror and back to the road. It took a couple of seconds at most, but it was long enough to see a human shape shrouded in darkness in my back seat. I couldn't breathe. The bright moonlight seemed unable to penetrate the shape. As I headed towards the junction at the end of the long road, I looked for somewhere to pull over. A pub, a restaurant, anything that had people, living people. But it was just fields and houses with the castle above. I had to look in the rearview mirror because the junction was fast approaching, but I didn't want to see it again. Holding my breath, I looked. Nothing. Moonlight once more shone into the back, empty seat. I stopped at the roundabout and turned to look behind me. There was no shape, no person, nothing in my back seat. I pushed my elbow down onto the door lock, hearing the reassuring thud of all the locks engaging. I drove around the roundabout and away from the castle, my heart thundering, refusing to look at the road behind. I made that journey every weekend for nearly a year, and my locks popped up at the same point in the road every time. But I never saw the shape again. Probably a fear-induced hallucination, right? Right? Hope you enjoyed my little tale. Take care. T.
Wow.
That is, and I think we can all agree, terrifying. Jesus wept. Jesus tonight. And let's go for the hat trick. Jesus. I have no third word to follow that. That is terrifying, Annette. Oh my Christ. Wow. I can't even envisage what it would be like. I mean, I can't envisage it for several reasons. One, because I'm pretty sure our car doesn't have central lock and it's that old. But can you imagine that, as you've just described? It's not necessarily the popping of the locks, because I would immediately think, oh, I've nudged something there. My knees knocked something, my hands knocked something. But the looking in the mirror and seeing a shape that you can't see through, that's interesting. I mean, it's all interesting, don't get me wrong. It's all bloody terrifying. But the shape in the back and the same spot in the road, you would have to. I say you'd have to. If it was me, I'd like to try and investigate that area and see if there was a fatal crash or anything like that. You know, something which would instigate a spirit being there or something historic. Maybe there was witches hung at the stake or hung at the stake. You know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, Annette, what an amazing little tale. Be sure to fill us in if you've got any more information on that location. Oh, that was a bit of a rhyme, wasn't it? Let's do a rap. Be sure to let us know about information on the location. Why do all rappers have to have American accents? I don't know. Let's do an English one. Be sure. Oh, no, wait there. Be sure to have information on the location. Didn't you know? That was awful. Anyway, Annette, sincerely, get back in touch if you've got any more tales like that, because that was amazing. Our next email comes in from Rhonda. Hello, Rhonda. And she writes, this is about the Men in Black episode, by the way, that we done the other day with Amy. Yes, terrifying, that one. She writes, hi, Kev.
Hi.
Becca.
Hi.
And the neighbour's cat.
Meow.
This week's episode with Amy was very interesting and I'm looking forward to part two. One thing that really struck me was when you were talking about astral projection and meditation. And then she goes on with a little story, but a very interesting one. Listen to this. When I was in my early 20s, in the early 90s, I was very interested in astral projection. I'd read a few books on the matter and decided to try one time when I was doing some breathing exercises. I felt myself float up and I could see my apartment from an angle as if I was looking down from the ceiling. At first, the room looked fine, but then it took on a red haze as if looking through a fog of blood, which felt foreboding. Just as the red haze happened, I felt myself being shoved hard back into my body by something and heard the word no. The being that shoved me did not feel malevolent, but felt more like a guiding spirit or guardian angel. I like to think that the being was protecting me from something that could have went horribly wrong. I have not tried to astral project since that time. I am curious if other listeners have had an experience with the red haze during astral projection or the feeling of being pushed back into their body. And that is from Rhonda. Why, thank you, Rhonda, for your very honest email. Now, I've mentioned before, I've had an experience with astral projection. When I was 16, in the early 90s, roughly around the same time as you, or more mid-90s. Anyway, fell asleep listening to Sergeant Pepper after reading a How to Do Astral Projection book. During my meditation, in inverted commas, I fell asleep on the top bunk of a bunk bed. My dad came into the room and woke me up. This is about 3 in the afternoon. And said, stop being bone idle, go and get a job. That sort of thing. Like sleeping in the afternoon, I know how that looks. I had the Sgt. Pepper album on repeat. My dad then went out of the room. I put my head back on the pillow. And instantly, like that, clicks my fingers. I was sat upright in the bed and looking round. And the only way I could describe it is the colour green. I felt like the colour green. Or as I've said before, like oil on a road. Or like if you push down the screen of a calculator, an old-fashioned calculator, and it gets that oil sort of colour, that's how I felt. And that's the best way I can describe it, which sounds nonsensical, but that's how I felt. I, Rhonda, have since tried many times. I try most nights to astrally project, and I've had some very interesting experiences from like loud whip sounds in the ear, like whip cracking sounds, just as I'm about to, as I've felt like I'm about to come out my body. I've also had very strange experiences where I felt like I've done it, but my eyes were still closed. And as I've tried to open my eyes, I've opened my eyes in real life, if you like, and I've found myself kind of just a little bit foggy sitting on the couch. But I've not encountered this being pushed back into your body thing, and I've certainly not encountered the red, bloody fog that you encountered. If any of our listeners out there have had experiences with either of those, do let us know for Rhonda's sake and obviously for the interest of the podcast. I would imagine that some people may have experienced it without knowing it was astral projection, which will be very interesting. So if people can get in touch and let us know if either of those things have happened to you, then we can let Rhonda know and all you know as well. Our next email comes in from Andrew and it's called Paranormal Experience. Can you tell by the way I said that there was a question mark at the end? Yes, I'm trying my best to give good sort of diction. Let me try that again. See if you can get there's a question mark there. Paranormal Experience? I think you can. Anyway, there is Paranormal Experience with a question mark at the end. Andrew says, hi, Kevin.
Hi.
Becca.
Hi.
And the naughty neighbour's cat.
Hi, who said I was naughty?
Well, that's evolving, isn't it? I love your podcasts. We need to talk about ghosts and the dark paranormal. Thank you, Andrew. It took a month or so, but I've binged all the available episodes and I can't get enough. Why, thank you. I figured that I'd write in and share my experience. And this, everyone, is Andrew's experience. I've always seen myself as a bit of a skeptic. I have interest in the paranormal because I love a good horror story. I'm a medical laboratory scientist by trade, and I believe in tangible evidence. The facts. If I can see it and feel it, therefore it must exist. But looking back at my own experience, I am left scratching my head and questioning what is possible and what is simply beyond my understanding. This occurred when my wife's grandmother passed away. A week or so after she passed, we were in charge of cleaning up her house for an estate sale that was to happen the following weekend. To save on costs, the power had been shut off to the house. We'd arrived at 9 a.m, so we would have plenty of daylight to work with. We began working, and I had started moving items to be sorted into the garage. During my second or third trip back, I noticed a bright white light floating in the middle of the garage. My wife came in behind me, and we both placed our boxes down and turned to go back into the house. That was when we both had the sudden realization that there was no power on in the house, and what we were seeing didn't make any sense. We both turned back around to look, and the light was gone. We were stunned. My wife asked if I'd just seen it too, and I immediately went to debunking what we'd just witnessed. Surely it was the reflection off the sun of a parked car or the light from a car pulling into the driveway. I tried to recreate that light over and over again, but with no luck. The sun wasn't even in the right spot to cast a light from the door into the garage, and when I was finally able to reflect light into the garage from my vehicle, it was noticeably different. The light from my vehicle looked like a reflection from a door, not a floating light. Even more strange, when the power was returned to the house so we could work at night, we would return the next morning to find the basement light on. To this day, my mother-in-law thinks it was her mother, in brackets, my wife's grandmother, letting everyone know she was okay. What I find perplexing is that it wasn't your typical paranormal experience. It wasn't a dark and stormy night or a creepy old house. It was a bright summer's morning. Nothing felt menacing or scary. It was just odd. Very good. I like that. It's terrifying because it's happened in the middle of the day there. And like I've said on many a time, there's certain things for me which give credence to a ghost story. Be that stuff that happens in the middle of the day, be the fact that it's a short story, which doesn't seem to make any sense. So, you know, like, for example, I've just done a Patreon episode there about very short ghost stories that were put on Twitter. And if you can sum up what's happened to you in a paranormal sense in 140 characters or whatever it is on Twitter, for some reason, I don't know why, it might just be a personal thing. It seems to add an authenticity to it, because ghost stories, I know that the ones we say in the show, and I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't, but ghost stories shouldn't have to make sense. You know, we don't understand the paranormal world, I believe, anyway. You know, we can have our best stab at it, which is what we do each and every week here, but we don't know the rules. So I'm always intrigued when there was one girl a few years, well, not long after starting this, who sent me a video. She'd sent me an email prior, which was like, I've got stuff going on in the apartment where I am in London. It's very weird happenings, bangings, rappings and stuff like that. And then she sent me a video. And the video in itself is one of the most genuine things I've ever seen, because what it was her going into the bathroom and the taps were already on. And she was explaining in the video, she was lying in bed, she'd heard the taps go on and she's gone into film. And you know, as opposed to the videos that you see going viral and getting shared where they're pointing at the sink and then the tap comes on and you think, all right, well, why were you pointing at the sink? And you could say, well, there was noises there, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but you were pointing at the exact place. It was just a level of authenticity she gave it by, like, this is what's just happened. You know, you're not seeing it turn on by a paranormal force, but I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say. It was just very good and very convincing. So, yeah, little things like that, or as I say, things that happen in broad daylight, they just add an extra chill factor for me. But anyway, Andrew continues. We also experienced one other occurrence a few months later. I'm not sure if it was tied to my wife's grandmother's passing because it felt more ominous. My wife and I were walking in her backyard at night. We turned the corner and saw what I can only describe as fog or mist. It must have been 6 to 7 feet tall with no real form, just an amorphous mass. But it just floated in that one spot. We thought it was odd because it was a clear and cool night, no fog anywhere else. We moved closer to get a better look, and when we got to around 2 feet away, it rushed towards us. For a brief moment, it felt as if we were in a wind tunnel. It blew through us and almost knocked us over. Freaked out, we decided to go inside. When I replay those moments in my mind, I usually write it off as mundane things like a reflection in the garage or a weather phenomena in her backyard, but I honestly don't know. I'd love to get yours and Becca's thoughts on what we've experienced. I do have one or two more stories, but I'll save that for a later date. Thanks again for all you do, Andrew. Andrew, I'll give you my thoughts secondarily, but firstly, and I can't give you Becca's because I'm recording this on the sly so I can plan her birthday on the weekend. So I apologise for that. But Andrew, send those stories in now. In fact, this is a bit of a message to everyone who sent me emails, and you're all lovely people for sending me emails, you really are. And I apologise I don't get around to answering them quickly enough, but a lot of people are sending me emails saying, hey, can I just say I really like this, I really like that. I've got stories, I'll send them in the future. Okay, I need them stories now because we're starting to get to the bottom of the barrel. So if you're sitting on a story, and don't get me wrong, we have things planned for future episodes. We've got a few interviews coming up and things like that. But if you're sat on a story and you're thinking, I will get around to writing that, listen to Kevin's words right now, please. Please send Kevin your story. Send it to contact@talkaboutghosts.com and I will read it out and together we will have a show. Yes, we shall. But Andrew, my thoughts on that black amorphous mass. You know what I'm going to say, everyone? Well, you might not. So I'm just going to tell you and see if you were right. The size thing coming in again, the height of these things, it now seems to be an ongoing reference point about like 6, 7, 8 foot tall, 9 foot tall entities. and it freaks me the F out. And I don't know what it is. You know, all of these sorts of demonic structures and beings and shapes, they're all massive. And you may be saying, well, 7 foot tall isn't that massive. It is, you know. You know, if you find something that's seven, if you find a person that's 7 foot tall, guarantee you take a photo of them. I mean, I've got a mate who's like 7 foot six, I think. And weirdly, and he won't mind me saying this, it's not from the waist up as well. It's all on the legs. So first time I met him, I sat down in a beer garden with him at a table, and he's a mate of a mate. So I was like, oh, hello, just gabbing away. And after about half an hour of chatting, he goes, right, just go in the bar. Anyone want a drink? Yes, please. I'll have a pint of lager. He stands up, and it took about 4 minutes. He just kept rising. And I was like, oh my God, by the thunder of Thor. So the point that I'm trying to make anyway is, maybe at the point of hell where they say, okay, demon, you're ready to go and haunt the humans, there's like one of those signs where you must be as tall as me to go and scare the humans, because it just seems to be too coincidental. And you know what? Without getting into the realms of like conspiracy theory and like paranoia and stuff, I'm sure that's like the fourth episode on the trot where we featured like a massive shadowy demon sort of thing. And you know, I know there's a lot of people out there who don't like when someone just bans around the word demon. I do it all the time. And I don't do it to kind of piss people off and say, it must be a demon. And when I say demon, I don't mean demon necessarily. I don't mean like Bezael or like, I can't even think of a demon's name right now, which is kind of good really for a Catholic boy. But you know what I mean? Like, let's Baal or whatever, or Belial, or all these sorts of demonic actual demons. When I say demon, and when you guys say demon, probably, you probably just mean like this guy. A black amorphous shape, which is about 8 foot high. Now, demon's what I would call that, because let's be honest, it's not your nan. So a little explanation as to when I say demon and why I say demon there. So, thank you for that, Andrew. How terrifying of you, but do send those extra stories in. Now, can I just say a huge, massive thank you to everyone. You know, a couple of shows ago, I said, ooh, I might do a change. I don't know. I've been knocked back on a few interview requests. And I was in a little bit of a wobbly position in terms of, it's a bit of an echo chamber when you're doing it on your own. And Becca comes and goes into the show, as you all know. But, you know, she doesn't really give me advice because she knows I'd never take it because I'm that sort of a stubborn prick. But in your droves, you've come on to say, keep the rambling in. It's what makes the show unique. You've been very complimentary, and yeah, and I really just want to say thank you. So that's how we're going to stick. Yeah. And there's been loads of really funny emails where people have said, hi, I'm in California, and we've started to say things like Jesus tonight and honest to God. I thought honest to God was quite a general worldwide colloquialism, but apparently not. We've had another guy who's emailed in and said that his inner monologue is now my voice. So I can only apologize for that, sir. Yes, I can. But sincerely, it's once again shown the community of podcasting, especially in the paranormal realm, is a wonderful place to be, and a supportive place to be, and a beautiful place to be. And I've never experienced any negatives from it. So once again, tipping me hat to you guys. So So thank you, sincerely. Now, don't forget, if you want to sign up to Patreon, there's over hundreds of extra episodes, rambles, and the way we do it on Patreon, just so you know, is that on a Wednesday I release a ramble, which is me rambling, and on a Sunday we try and do a paranormal show, an actual paranormal show. As I said earlier, this week we're looking at stories on Twitter, yes, where somebody said, do you guys believe in ghosts? And then in the hundreds, people have went, yes, and here's how. So it's a very interesting show today. And to join that, you need to sign up. So you need to go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. It not only helps us stay on air, for want of a better phrase, but you get all that extra content too. And also this week, I've posted up some very interesting photos from the flat, just to say. The Patreons will get it first, because that's only fair, but I will eventually put them on the Facebook group as well. And I think that's about it for today. I think that rounds up the show. So I will be back on Sunday with you for yet another paranormal episode of Purveyance. And don't forget, if you are sat on a story, and I sincerely mean this, send it in. Now is the time to get things right. No, seriously though, now is the time to get things right. I'm sorry. I have little silly bets with myself, like, but you can't do that again. God, talk about entertaining yourself. Anyway, guys, I love you all. Take care of yourselves and each other. Copyright Jeremy Springer, mid-1990s style Lee. And yeah, just take care. Tatty bye.